Good morning. My name is Pamela, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Technology and Standards Hype Cycle for Health 2009 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. If you should need assistance during the call, please press star, then zero, and an operator will come back online to assist you. Thank you. Mr. Varian Ranian, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning or afternoon, depending on where you are. My name is Barry Runyon. I'm a research VP in the Healthcare Providers Group at Gartner. And as such, my research agenda surrounds many of the underlying information technologies found in the care delivery organization, from the large physician office to the community hospital to the University Medical Center to the integrated delivery system. I'm concerned about with issues like capacity and complexity problems that are now part and parcel of growth and increased automation of the various business and clinical workflows within the CDO. What kind of emerging technologies have the potential to improve the care delivery organization's clinical and financial outcomes? How to deliver and manage applications, systems, and infrastructure to ensure the necessary service levels? The security and compliance issues posed by increased access to personal health information by both clinicians and patients and eventually consumers, and how to efficiently and safely provision for a host of new IT constituents, users, devices, systems that have resulted from remote access, increased mobility, and interoperability. Information technology and related standards have taken on a more prominent role in supporting the care delivery organization's efforts to improve care quality, to reduce costs, and to increase revenue. The Gartner Hype Cycles for Healthcare Providers, there are three of them. We're only going to be talking about one of them today. We have one for technologies and standards, one for applications and systems, and a new one we started a couple years ago on telemedicine. They assist the care delivery organizations in assessing the maturity and the value of the various technologies, standards, applications, and systems. Okay, well, we think care delivery organizations benefit most from IT when they anticipate and plan for upcoming technologies rather than merely reacting them as they occur or appear on the market. A care delivery organization's specific business model, along with its corporate ambitions and its tolerance for risk, and it really, those are the things that drive the adoption of certain technologies. This presentation, as I mentioned, is concerned with the Gartner Technology and Standards Hype Cycle. And it describes a set of technology profiles that assist the care organization in making timely and effective choices. Gartner recognizes several macro-level workflows that work in the average care delivery organization. These are the various workflows necessary to arrange, manage, deliver, and account for care. Some of these systems used to arrange for care include systems like patient registration and admissions and enterprise scheduling systems, and more recently, patient portals and kiosks for self-registration, appointment scheduling, and other administrative tasks. Those required to deliver care include systems such as the computerized patient record, or CPR, the electronic medical record, and the various departmental and medical imaging systems that contribute to the medical record. For clarity, Gartner usually refers to the CPR as a hospital or inpatient medical record, and the EMR as the outpatient or ambulatory medical record. Systems required to manage care include patient throughput and logistics systems such as bed management and asset tracking and disease management and quality measurement systems, as well as preventive care and personal health management tools. And then there are those systems required to account for care like medical records billing, claims processing, revenue cycle management, to mention a few. So no matter how you categorize these applications and systems, there are those that are administrative, financial, foundational, clinical, customer, and care-related. It seems like most of these systems are moving closer to the point of care and to their constituents. that being the consumer, the patient, the hospital employee, and the clinician. They're focused on improving operational efficiency, increasing consumer convenience, improving the quality of care, and promoting patient safety. This list represents a few of the important high-level trends in healthcare provider space. Each of these is in some way beneficial or even potentially transformational. And all of them present new opportunities and problems for the healthcare provider and our IT departments. Increased clinical automation can make care delivery safer and more efficient and potentially more affordable for the patient, but present a host of fairly complex privacy, security, performance, and availability issues for the IT department. Business process management is a discipline that requires organizations to shift to process-centric thinking and to reduce their reliance on traditional territorial and functional silos and organizational structures and are meant to improve overall agility and operational performance. Business intelligence crosses business and financial and clinical purposes. As care delivery organizations continue to transition to paperless environments, business intelligence, or BI, becomes a necessary focus. It answers the question, how do we leverage the data now available toward performance improvement and improve strategic decision-making? Several leading-edge healthcare providers in North America and Europe are really piloting or actively deploying programs of chronic care that use home health monitoring technologies. Is also being spurred on by the funding of government agencies like Canada's Health InfoA and the U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. So around the world, those who pay for healthcare are increasingly aware of the errors and inefficiencies caused by the lack of coordination among healthcare providers. The growing number of patients with one or more chronic conditions who need ongoing coordinated care delivered by a variety of providers in different organizations and care settings has led some forward-thinking healthcare payers and providers to recognize the need to compensate physicians for activities involved in care coordination. Medical imaging is one of the fastest-growing areas within the healthcare provider, but can really stress out the provider's storage fabric, its network bandwidth, and it's even its application integration capabilities. Remote access contributes to physician productivity and retention, but will require stronger authentication to satisfy compliance concerns. Mobility is an undeniable juggernaut. Care delivery organizations had pervasive wireless infrastructures in place before they knew what to do with them. Along with its apparent usefulness, it is difficult to safely integrate wireless devices and applications into the various clinical workflows. All of these trends suggest a more complex, integrated, responsive, and highly available healthcare IT ecosystem. These items represent the kind of issues that surface as the care delivery organization IT ecosystem becomes more automated, dependent on integrated software systems, those necessary to support those macro-level workflows I mentioned earlier. There are many more systems now. The average care delivery organization, or CDO, hosts anywhere between 150 and 300 first and second-tier applications and systems. The routine clinical, administrative, and business workflows of the CDO are becoming more and more dependent upon software systems that are more tightly integrated and interoperable. This promises increased efficiencies and safety, but demands we, in the CDO, successfully manage the complexity, compliance, and capacity issues that accompany it. These systems require an IT infrastructure that has been designed to perform in a highly available and agile manner, and to scale to meet new requirements and business challenges. New service level expectations are surfacing as new constituents place new demands. New IT service delivery, governance, and support models will be required. The Gartner Hype Cycles for the healthcare provider attempts to put into proper perspective those technologies that care delivery organizations will need to remain competitive over the next decade or so. So what's a hype cycle? today, as I mentioned, we're going to discuss the healthcare provider hype cycle, primarily that for technology and standards. The technology and standards hype cycle tracks technologies like Bluetooth standards, desktop and server virtualization, strong authentication, and single sign-on, and standards like the HL7 V3 messages and medical device management that are all of value to the care delivery organization. The dots you see on the hype cycle in the next few graphics are referred to as technical profiles. And we at Gartner labor assiduously to properly value and position these dots on our hype cycle. The Gartner hype cycle was introduced in 1995. It characterizes a typical progression of a technology from initial overenthusiasm through a natural period of disillusionment to an eventual understanding of the technology's relevance and meaning and role in a market or a domain. In this case, a care delivery organization, a healthcare provider. Positioning technologies on the hype cycle is based on a consensus assessment of hype and maturity by Gartner horizontal and vertical analysts. And it's peer-reviewed very closely. During the first part or phase of a hype cycle, there are many uncertainties regarding a technology. Its position on the hype curve is guided more by hype levels than by perceived maturity. At the later stages, as more information about performance and adoption becomes available, mostly from the market, hype plays a decreasing role in determining the technology's position. Technologies typically don't move at a uniform speed through the hype cycle. It's important to note that although many Gartner hype cycles are focused on specific technologies, like the hype cycle for wireless networking, server platforms, storage hardware, and such, the same pattern of hype and ensuing disillusionment applies to higher-level concepts like IT methodologies, management disciplines, high-level trends, ideas, and even concepts. So it's just not limited to a particular technology or domain. So how is a hype cycle used? They're used to enable technology planners to compare their understanding of technology's evolution against Gartner's analysis of the technology's maturity, so they can decide whether and when to invest in a technology. If a company invests in a technology too soon, it could suffer unnecessarily through painful and expensive lessons associated with deploying an immature technology. And on the other hand, if it delays action too long, it runs the risk of being left behind by its competitors who have succeeded in making the technology work to their advantage. So the hype cycle is a simple and clear message, which I'll repeat at the end of this. Enterprises should not invest in a technology just because it's being hyped, nor should they ignore a technology just because it's not living up to its early over expectations. Rather, they should be selectively aggressive and move early on with technologies that are potentially beneficial to their business. You know, organizations can choose to let others learn the hard lessons. They can put off their own adoption until the technology becomes more mature. This is particularly true for technologies with lower impact. To help you determine whether to make a move or how long to wait, each Gartner hype cycle is accompanied by a priority matrix that presents the potential benefit level of a technology feature. I'll discuss the priority matrix a little later in this presentation. I want to spend some time in the next few slides to just go over the mechanics and the rationale behind the hype cycle. A technology passes through several stages of the hype cycle on its path to productivity, to the plateau of productivity as we refer to it. The first stage is called the technology trigger. That's when a technical breakthrough is announced or a public demonstration or product launch or some event generates significant press and industry interest. At this stage, typically there's no usable products that exist, only research and possibly just laboratory prototypes. Venture capitalists may provide some early funding just after the technology trigger stage if they expect the technology to gain some traction. The next stage is called the peak of inflated expectations. During this stage, there's typically a great deal of overenthusiasm, even unrealistic projections made about the future and impact of a technology or a concept. There may even be a few well-publicized successes by some of the technology leaders, but it's likely there are more failures as the immature technology is essentially pushed to its limits. At this point, the only companies that are making money are conference organizers and magazine publishers, most likely. As the peak of inflated expectation crests, the number of vendors offering a technology increases. And these vendors are primarily startup companies and small vendors that are trying to benefit from an increasing amount of hype available in the market. Because the technology cannot live up to its overinflated expectations, it rapidly becomes unfashionable and slides into what we refer to as the trough of disillusionment, pretty ominous. Media interest wanes, and the technology is often discredited by analysts and the market. Some of the early vendor trials end up as highly publicized failures, and a significant amount of vendor consolidation accompanies this slide into the trough. During a technology journey up the slope of enlightenment, it is usually accompanied by a good deal of focused experimentation, hard work by vendors and clients alike, and in order to gain a true understanding of a technology's applicability, risk, and benefits in a particular market or domain. As second and third generation products are launched, the methodologies and tools are added to ease the development process and the implementation process. And the technology begins to climb toward early stages of maturity that are predictable and more affordable. And the service component usually declines as a percentage of the overall sale of this particular product. The real world benefits of a technology are demonstrated and accepted when a technology reaches the plateau of productivity. Increasing numbers of organizations feel comfortable at this point with the products based on the technology and the reduced level of risk and the rapid growth in adoption. This is another way of looking at an ideal hype cycle trajectory. It describes, if you look at the hype cycle, there's really two distinct stages of upward trajectory or increasing hype. The first dramatic one occurs that leads up to the peak of inflated expectations, and another more gradual one during the rise up the slope of enlightenment. The first rise in hype is an interest and excitement that I mentioned before. Some of the technology can actually experience multiple rounds of hype before beginning a more serious path toward adoption. The second stage of hype is associated with the beginning of real adoption and growth as a technology gradually ascends the slope of enlightenment. And some technologies actually experience what we call a mini peak of hype during this stage, often triggered by new and improved vendor products that are introduced based on the technology and that can serve to launch them up this slope of enlightenment. For example, mesh networks are an interesting method of leveraging peer-to-peer wireless networking bandwidth, but they're relevant primarily to wireless network service providers. Other technologies that have more general appeal, like service-oriented architecture or smartphones, will attain much higher levels of media exposure and hype. Therefore, even when mesh networking is at the peak of its hype, it will still receive far less hype than smartphones or service-oriented architecture. The hype cycle ends at the beginning of the plateau of productivity. So the hype cycle ends when mainstream adoption of the technology begins. So if you combine the two curves, one based on excitement and hype, and the other based on real engineering, practical experience, and business maturity, that essentially yields the hype cycle. There's some interesting things, too, about hype cycle phases. As I mentioned earlier, Gartner analysts position these technologies based on consensus of both hype and maturity. And the technology, a technical profile, or a dot, may have radically different positions on different hype cycles. This occurs when there are different applications of the technology. An example would be speech recognition in a call center may be more mature therefore approaching the plateau of productivity than something like once-and-done speech recognition used for clinical dictation. Currently, just pulling out of the trough of disillusionment on its way up to the slope of enlightenment. So that account, so you may see, you know, the same technical profile on different hype cycle reports positioned differently. On the rise refers these phases. They're on the rise, at the peak, sliding into the trough, climbing the slope, finally entering the plateau. On the rise refers, as I mentioned before, to the rise and peak of inflated expectations. During this phase, as I mentioned before, first-generation products emerge and are usually highly specialized, difficult to install and maintain and deploy. And products are usually more expensive during this phase because vendors are still trying to recover their R&D cost. When a technology is at the peak, a growing number of enterprises start to look at the technology and how it might fit into their business strategy. At this point, most enterprises, in particular care delivery organizations, because we tend to be a little more conservative, investigate but don't usually take action at this phase. As problems with these first-generation products surface, often because, like I mentioned before, the technology is pushed to the limits, the negative publicity actually dampens it a whole lot of interest. Because the technology does not live up to the overinflated expectation, it will slide into the troughs. And the technology begins to enter the plateau when it experiences really mainstream adoption and real-world benefits of the technology are demonstrated and accepted. Technologies become increasingly embedded in solutions at that point that are really almost out of the box. The majority of Type B enterprises, Type A, Type B, and Type C, I'll talk about later, enterprises. Type C enterprises are typically very conservative. Type A are a very aggressive organization when it comes to technology adoption, and Type B are kind of middle of the road. And I'll refer to them on and off throughout this presentation. Because the kind of organizations, your corporate aspirations, your staffing, your level of technical expertise, and so on, have a lot to do with whether you adopt a technology or not. This is this year's, the 2009 Technology and Standards Hype Cycle. There are 47 technical profiles on the hype cycle this year, kind of a net gain of a few from last year, once you factor in those that we actually removed, because we remove technologies from time to time as they either become obsolete before they reach plateau because of lack of interest for a lot of things, and then those that have just simply been widely adopted. And for a Gartner hype cycle, this is a reasonably busy hype cycle. Each dot is represented by a technical profile wherein the technology is defined, its position on the hype cycle and adoption speed is justified, and limited user advice is dispensed, along with a benefit rating and a rough assessment of market penetration and its overall maturity. These attributes that I just mentioned, these values, position the technology on the hype cycle and serve as input to the associated priority matrix graphic that was introduced a couple years ago. About a dozen new technical profiles were introduced this year in support of initiatives such as enterprise mobility, medical imaging, asset management, clinical workflow and collaboration. And they include things like Bluetooth 3.0, the Bluetooth low energy wireless technology, an area called consent management, which is becoming important as clinical portals are deployed and care delivery organizations join health information exchanges. Enterprise content management, which is really a broader approach to document management, and the enterprise image archive, which is an attempt to actually create DICOM or PACS neutral long-term archive for all medical images. Healthcare assistive robots were added this year. That's really forward-looking. Healthcare location and condition sensing technologies, which some refer to as real-time location services, which we kind of expanded because of additional uses for sensors for things like temperature and humidity monitoring and so on. There's, of course, the HL7 CDA Release 2, revenue cycle management, semantic interoperability for healthcare, teleradiology outsourcing, and unified communications. These are new for this year. Technology profile entries related to HIPAA and service-oriented architecture, or SOA, have been dropped from this year's hype cycle, along with things like Blade PCs. And HIPAA is really well-entrenched standard adopted by a majority of the care delivery organizations. And that'll be further clarified by the ARRA High-Tech Act going forward anyway. HIPAA claims attachments and Blade PCs were designated as obsolete before Plateau in 2008, and so they were scheduled to come off our hype cycle. The Blade PCs were rendered extinct before reaching the plateau because of the low adoption among hospitals and the emergence of something like the virtual desktop infrastructure, which is gaining fast traction. So what do these dots mean as to the care delivery organization? And here's where I talk about a little bit about type A and B and C organizations. If you're a type A organization, an aggressive adopter of technology, you may want to investigate technologies and standards found earlier in the hype cycle, where there is more risk, less market acceptance. However, you've got to be careful when adopting these technologies before the trough of disillusionment, as risk and uncertainty is greater, and they haven't been shaken out by use. You should be sure that any technology you take on before the trough of disillusionment is strategically important and addresses a significant problem area in your enterprise. So if you're going to take a risk, make sure it's a prudent one. The introduction of unified communications into the care delivery organization could result in improved caregiver communications, collaboration, improved patient safety and care, and more efficient utilization of human and material resources. That might be an area that a type A or B organization would look at seriously. IT risk and compliance management, or ITGRCM solutions, they have the potential of offering real assistance to healthcare providers in defining their IT policies, managing policy content, and most importantly, mapping policies to the various underlying technical controls and automating the regulatory reporting process. This ultimately will help the organization determine gaps in compliance and reducing enterprise risk. It is very likely a type A enterprise organization has already investigated or deployed some of these technologies that will be mature in the next two, and some of the ones I just mentioned that will mature somewhere in the next 2 to 5 years. Technologies that are at the peak of inflated expectations phase or will bring new operational efficiency typically to a care delivery organization, new ways of integrating information into clinical and business workflows, and innovative ways of fostering constituent collaboration. Stuff like medical device management and standardization will improve medical device integration with computer-based patient record systems. Make that communication seamless, take the clinician out of the way, along with some advanced functionality to assist care organizations in managing these more and more of these devices, which are really becoming wireless and coming under the purview of IT. I mentioned unified communications. The care delivery organization. Let's go to a type B organization at this point. If you're a type B enterprise, an organization tolerant of moderate risk, you may want to begin to investigate or pilot these same technologies or standards and focus on those that are sliding into the trough or climbing up the slope. You're more likely to stay away because you are a little more prudent, more risk averse, let's put it that way. And it's very likely you've implemented a number of these technologies further up the slope of the enterprise, actually the entering the plateau phase. If you haven't, you should be sure to find out why. If you're a Type B organization, you should be looking at those technologies and standards that are either in the trough or sliding into the trough or climbing the slope. That's an easy way of looking at it. The technologies, some of the technology profiles in that phase includes the hosted virtual desktop, healthcare location and condition sensing technology, and the enterprise image archive. Many Gartner healthcare provider clients are currently investigating the hosted virtual desktop to address pervasive PC deployment and support issues. Although it's not fully mature, HVD combined with thin client workstations, I think will be attractive in the patient room where noise and heat can be minimized and with these technologies. Healthcare location and condition sensing technologies used in concert with resource tracking and monitoring systems and dashboards will make people and device information more visible to the enterprise and really make it possible to tame and leverage the increased mobility inherent in the modern care delivery organization. Combined with the wireless healthcare asset tracking and patient throughput and logistics systems like nurse call, they'll result in operational efficiency such as improved patient flow, compliance, for device maintenance, for instance, research utilization and planning. The Enterprise Image Archive has the potential to free care delivery organizations to purchase best-of-breed imaging solutions while centralizing the storage retrieval of historical data. An EIA can also form the basis of a ILM strategy or information lifecycle management strategy for enterprise imaging and facilitate image exchange between healthcare facilities. So if you're a Type C enterprise, however, conservative and generally risk averse, you should really concentrate on the technologies that are emerging from the trough or comfortably positioned, well up the slope of enlightenment that have strategic value to their enterprise and address a specific problem or issue or opportunity for that matter. Technologies that are entering the plateau or at the beginning of mainstream adoption where real-world benefits have been demonstrated and accepted. Single sign-on, the clinical contest object work group or CCAL are really very close to mainstream adoption right now and will likely be off the hype cycle this time next year. The hype cycle is a good tool to show business and other executives the common pattern of excitement and subsequent disillusionment that inevitably accompany new ideas and new technology. But for internal planning, the prioritization of emerging technologies, technology planners must kind of look beyond the hype and assess the technology opportunities and in terms of their relative impact on their particular enterprise. The priority matrix I mentioned previously is a companion to the familiar hype cycle graphic. It maps the technology's benefit to its time to maturity. This table is generated from a benefit rating and the time to plateau values, those two values, established for each technology or technology profile or DOT. The priority matrix provides an easy-to-read format that answers two key questions. How much value will an enterprise get from a particular technology, and when will the technology be mature enough to deliver that value? And as a rule, if you happen to have one that's colored, if it's red, it's hot as a technology or idea, and if it's gray, it's probably not. The options for the benefit rating are, you know, transformational. That's a benefit when it has transformational benefit when it enables new ways of doing business across industries that will result in major shift of industry dynamics. There's very few transformational technologies or ideas that occur, you know, annually. A hype cycle entry is considered to have high value when it enables new ways of performing horizontal and vertical processes that will result in either increased revenue or cost savings within the enterprise. A technology is of moderate benefit when it provides incremental improvements, and low benefit when it only slightly improves processes. For instance, an example would be an improved user experience. That's very difficult to translate into increased revenue or cost savings. And if you look, you'll see that most of the technology profiles are of moderate or high value versus transformational value. And most of them are going to be achieve mainstream adoption and somewhere in the next 2 to 10 years, even though there are a few in the short-term area. But the real value of the maturity the priority matrix lies in focusing on the discussion on where the company should target the valuation of emerging technology. It's a useful framework for making explicit judgments about the potential benefits of the technology and defending against personality-driven investment decisions whereby a particularly influential individual or champion of a technology or project may not be the best investment for the company, and you need some more empirical evidence to either support it or not support it. An example, SNOMED CT is considered a warm technology that will offer high value for care delivery organizations in the next 2 to 5 years. This means that this technology will enable new ways of doing business that can result in cost savings and increased revenue. CPR systems, interoperability, outcome analysis, error reduction, business process management, and clinical decision support are enabled, often enabled, let's put it that way, improved by this controlled medical vocabulary. You know, 5 to 10 years out, the HIE/EHR, along with some of the interoperability standards like the Open EHR standard, should promote new levels of healthcare automation and interoperability. It'll take 10 years or more for other warm technologies, such as healthcare assistive robots that I mentioned earlier, to make the impact felt, at which point they could even prove transformational. So healthcare providers should also look for incremental value by adopting technologies such as unified communications, the unified medical device bus, and, of course, server and desktop virtualizations in the next, either this year or next. As some observations, some thoughts I have on the technologies and standards. One of the trends implicit in the hype cycle is the movement toward the concept of a real-time enterprise. Many applications are evolving to provide real-time management and decision support data, computerized patient record systems, location, condition, and sensing applications, as well as dashboarding, are used for performance monitoring. Efforts to automate and optimize care, retain physicians, better serve and communicate with existing patients, and even attract new ones, is going to take on a new sense of urgency, particularly in this down economy. Initiatives will be undertaken to account for, and this is an interesting, a lot of initiatives are going to be taken to account for the things and the people and the processes within the enterprise and to understand them in considerably more depth than we have in the past. The workflow, the workforce, outcomes, revenue costs, customers, and so on, to get the most out of them and even to adapt them to new purposes. Efforts will be made to encourage and increase secure access by patients and providers to their personal health information, or PHI, assets housed by the CDOs out there. And these new initiatives will depend on new levels of technical sophistication and interoperability within and without the enterprise. So technology has taken a more prominent role in supporting the care delivery organization's effort to improve care quality and increase revenue. That's evidenced by the sheer number of important technologies and standards found on this hype cycle. Care delivery organizations continue to invest heavily in sophisticated clinical, administrative, and financial systems. So the underlying technologies they depend on or can be used to leverage the value in a system become more important to track, pilot, and implement. On the rise are applications and systems that extend the usefulness and reach of these systems. So technology profiles like medical device management and standardization, semantic interoperability, DAS, or distributed antenna systems, should also be tracked and investigated. And care delivery organizations that have made a leap into Generation 3 CPR systems are really looking, are at this point looking to further leverage these expensive investments, significant investments. And these systems will experience security, capacity, availability, and management issues. So technologies like single sign-on, user provisioning, desktop and server virtualization, and particular IT service management tools, ITSM, really must be considered. Information will, like I mentioned, continue to move closer to the point of care, and the point of care will continue to move to new venues. So telemedicine of various flavors, portals, e-visits, e-prescribing will be of interest and need to be tracked. I mentioned that significant investments in these systems will create infrastructural capacity issues, and your infrastructure programs will need to keep pace with your application and system deployments. Requirements surrounding improved consumer experience, patient-provider communication, and information sharing between enterprises will continue to surface. So you're going to need to drill down on technology profiles like the personal health management tools and personal health record. Clinical vendors are continuing to enhance their remote hosting options as a way of providing more predictable costs, help in managing the complexity, and maybe shifting some of the risk from the care delivery organization to the vendor. And this is an inexorable trend, and a part of a new service delivery model where I believe most care delivery organizations in the next 5 to 10 years will be hybrid. Important critical systems, a percentage of them will be remote hosted, and a percentage of them will be run on premise. But many of the new sales by the large clinical vendors out there are remote hosted options. SaaS is something that is of interest, but right now most of the clinical vendors do not have their systems architected for real SaaS multi-tenancy deployment, and that will take some time to do. Disaster recovery will become more important than ever, but it currently still suffers from incomplete planning and kind of short-sighted implementations. We have a lot of work to do in that area. Emerging next-generation systems like patient throughput and logistics management and healthcare workforce analytics are really underscoring the increasing need to balance the demands of with the resources available within the hospital. So 2009 and beyond, some one-liners here. Like I mentioned, ITSM, or service management, will become a must as the care delivery organization becomes more automated and complex. Products from IBM and CA and some of the usual suspects out there, CompuWare, as well as some smaller ITS vendors like Heroics and so on, we use to map critical workflows to the underlying infrastructure components so they can help monitor and actually enforce service levels that are often articulated but not enforced, articulated and set out in contracts, but often the tools aren't there to actually enforce them. And the end user experience is going to become very, very important. ILM, or information lifecycle management, will start to be taken a heck of a lot more seriously as a CDO grapples with precipitous storage demand. Microsoft Office is a big line item, and care delivery organizations will begin to consider alternatives for that 80% of their users that use less than 20% of the product features of the Office suite. And as more users, employees, and clinicians access mission-critical systems remotely, either through a portal or a remote desktop, it'll be more important than ever to be sure who they are and if they are who they say they are. So you should expect stronger authentication for remote access and more innovative use of out-of-band authentication approaches that emerge. Companies like Authentify and Phone Factor and Anacam that offer out-of-band cellular-based or phone-based strong authentication measures are going to become very popular. Low-hanging fruit like application log management, a pretty non-invasive way to observe the red flag rules and to fight medical identity theft, is going to become more prevalent. Companies like Logarithm and Fair Warning. Technology silos like network and database and telecom will begin to really give away to more a matrixed organization, where IT personnel will more closely align with the workflows and the users they support rather than with just the technologies. This is a long time in coming. Content management will require to really locate and tame the tremendous amount of information in the enterprise. So you're going to see the rise of the enterprise content management system. And again, a disaster recovery, it still remains a bit of a disaster in the healthcare provider space, but you'll see a lot more focus on storage-facilitated disaster recovery and more compliance in that space. Web 2.0 type functionality like e-visits, peer-to-peer social networks, blogs, wikis, and so on, that kind of functionality is actually going to start servicing in clinical and patient portals. So, as I mentioned, there's a simple and clear message from the hype cycle that a technology should not be adopted just because it's at the peak of inflated expectations, nor should they be necessarily abandoned at the trough. Rather, they should be the enterprise should identify which technologies are potentially beneficial to their business and evaluate those items, preferably earlier in the hype cycle. It's a measurement of knowledge and risk, and in general, type A organizations will adopt technologies earlier in the hype cycle than less aggressive companies. However, because of the additional risk, type A companies should be selectively aggressive and make sure that these technologies actually address a real problem and a real opportunity. Type B enterprises will wait till the technology is close to the plateau of productivity before they seriously invest in it, while the Type C companies will wait until it's firmly nested in the mainstream. But I always suggest Type B and C enterprises consider adopting technologies earlier if they contribute to their key business objectives. So while the hype cycle is a useful educational tool for helping enterprise understand hype cycle along with the priority matrix, to understand that inevitable pattern of excitement and disillusionment, for internal prioritization within the technology planning organization, I think the priority matrix is probably more effective and a more effective tool. At any rate, I hope this has been of some use to you. I know I unloaded a great deal of information on you in a very short period of time, and I'd like to thank you for attending today's ATC.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.